Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Tulsa World Opinion video podcast. I'm Jenny Graham, the editorials editor, and I'm here with my friend, Barry Friedman, who is known as Friedman of the Plains. He's a comic. What else are you?
I guess I'm a blogger. I guess I'm a writer. I guess I'm an author. I guess I don't know what I am. I'm a
Where do
senior.
people find you? If
Oh,
people want to find out more about you.
at friedmanoftheplains.com or barryusfriedman.com. You got to put the S in there, otherwise you're going to get an attorney in California. Or the Indian blanket guy who did the blankets for Killers of the Flower Moon. Another Barry Friedman. There are a lot of Barry Friedmans out there. There's a Barry Friedman out there who's a juggler.
But I bet no matter which Barry Friedman you would contact, it would still be an interesting conversation.
Yes. There was a Barry Friedman who's the NYU Law School, one of the smartest guys in the country. We've actually had lunch together.
Well, I'm glad you joined us because we're going to have an end of year roundup. And we've not spoken in a while. And here's the problem with end of year roundups is I will forget things. So we're going to try it and we're going to flip back and forth between pop culture and politics and just whatever comes up.
And state politics.
So for people who don't know Barry is kind of a junkie for national politics. He doesn't know what's happening on his neighborhood,
No idea.
tracking what's going on in Congress. He knows what's on George Santos' lunch menu that day.
But I
So
don't know about what's going on in my neighborhood
you have no
association.
idea what's going on at the Tulsa City Council, but that's fine. So we'll do you a favor here and let's start with President Joe Biden, who you've actually met, had a
Yeah.
very nice conversation. People can look up that column you wrote about it. But he's our president. And so I'm wondering, what do you think his shining moment was this past year? And where did he bumble? So, shining moment, where is that?
Well, they're actually related because in the third quarter of this past year, the economy grew by 5.2%. When Trump was president, he never got over 4%. We have the lowest inflation in a couple of years. We have the lowest unemployment in 50 years. One could argue that because he was president, NATO was strong, there's still a Ukraine. The problem is his poll numbers keep going down. So somehow between that and people caring about it, or giving him credit for it, or even knowing about it, so the bumble is the fact that we haven't been able, he hasn't been able to crow about the successes. He's had some stumbles, and again, he misses a couple of words and he stutters a little bit, but we're not talking about if you're not a Trump supporter, you woke up every morning and thought to yourself, every time the radio somebody said, today the president, today the administration went, oh God, what now? Well, for the last couple of years with Joe Biden, you don't wake up every morning and thinking the place is a disaster. Something has happened. He said something so outlandish. So I think the bumble is the fact that whatever message is out there that I think should be out there is not getting out there. And it's getting frustrating because I'm not sure how it does get out there. And the fact that Donald Trump right now is tied with him is astonishing to me.
This is not going to be very popular in Oklahoma, my answer on what his shining moment was. And this isn't new. And it has to do with his kids. Hunter Biden, he is a mess. I am never going to defend Hunter Biden.
And he
But I
shouldn't be president.
admired
Right.
how his dad stands by his kids. That for parents of kids who make bad decisions, who are dealing with addictions, who are dealing with mental health issues, who are dealing with this. The politically expedient thing to do would be create distance or, something. But he doesn't do that. He stands up and says, I'm his dad. I'm gonna hug him. I'm gonna be, and unfortunately, it's giving his political opponents traction to now try to impeach him based on that relationship. But I've always admired people that stand by their loved ones in these high profile jobs through really difficult times. And so I feel like as a parent, I've always thought that was a good thing of him, a good quality that has really been tested this past year. So, but like you, he's just not connecting with voters and particularly younger voters. Some younger voters are not happy with the way he's handled, the Israel-Palestinian war. Some are not happy with, they're not making that connection with the economy. Although, presidents don't really have, I mean, we talk about the economy. I think people give the president, no matter who's in the presidency, way too much thinking they can do way more than they can. I mean, the president's authority only extends so far. Presidents don't control the gas prices. Presidents don't, dictate how the markets work. So, but even when the economy is, good or bad, it's just not making that connection.
Well, the polling doesn't really show Trump doing that well with young voters either. And there are polls out there that show Biden doing pretty well. And again, the whole idea of what the polls mean now, anyway, a year out, we may be overinflating that.
Do you think the polls are even legitimate anymore? I
Well,
mean, I
they
think
are
they don't
legitimate
even tell us
in
anything.
the fact that you've got one guy who's been charged 91 different accounts, 91 different counts, right? Some felony, some egregious, some awful. The fact that he's still in the race, the fact that there's still numbers out there that show him tied at the same seven states that determine the last election will determine this one. That's a troubling sign if you're a Democrat, that this election is still
Right. You
close.
can't, that the Democratic Party can't get more traction over
Whether it's
that.
3%, 5%, whether they're tied, the fact is, you can't underestimate Donald Trump. He usually polls, they understate his support. So this is serious. Does it matter? Is it indicative? You'd say no, but on the other hand, what are there, 11 undecided voters left in America? I mean, how many people have not made their decision?
As a Gen Xer, I'm a little frustrated that the bench isn't deep on either party here. I mean, we're deciding between two almost 80-year-olds. I'm like, come on, are you really just going to skip over my generation? Skip completely. We're in our 50s now.
That's what the voters wanted. I mean, Donald Trump, I mean, Ron DeSantis is in his 40s. Nikki Haley's in her 50s. Christie's in his 50s. Ramaswamy is in whatever age the planet from Zargon tracks those things. I mean, he is chosen and 78-year-old man. Same with Joe Biden. He beat Kamala Harris, who was in her 40s. He beat Booker. He beat Buttigieg, who was in his 30s. I mean, this is who we want. This is not a big mystery. We decided somehow what. At the end of the day, we like
The
older
current power
white
structure
guys.
is in place.
Barack Obama was the one aberration, and he's I guess the good news if you're a Democrat is Barack Obama is still pretty popular even across. I wouldn't say he's popular among Republicans, but I always thought when Biden was nominated, the reason that was a smart move for Democrats was he was the one Democrat out there, unlike Elizabeth Warren. Biden didn't annoy people the way Hillary Clinton did. You really couldn't work up as much anger about Biden as you did with Hillary or even Elizabeth Warren. However, you didn't really need anything to gin up the anger towards Biden. They got it. And now Biden is, what I hear today from Stephen Miller, a criminal enterprise? Yeah, I guess you
Yeah,
can say
I'm not
anything you want.
buying that. I mean, Hunter is a mess, but I don't think he's capable of a criminal enterprise. But we'll let the process go through. But I'll tell you what, they better not be blurring out faces and stuff like that. So I'm gonna ask the next question is, to be fair, Congress. I mean, Congress is the other branch of government that doesn't get nearly the held their feet to the fire like the president does. So, we have a House speaker that wants to have an impeachment and not tell us who's on the impeachment panel. No, that's not how government works. But so the question is, looking at Congress, and I would say what's the best of and worst of, but I mean, let's face it, I think we're just going to be ranking the worst of moments, right? So
What have Republicans done?
looking at how Congress has done this past year, what stands out as moments in your mind,
Well, what
like,
have they done? I mean, and what have they done? I mean, Santos is gone. McCarthy lost their speakership.
but it took forever to get a House speaker. The fact that it took so long for them to decide on one person, and that one person not impressing me. I mean, the first thing he wants to do is have an impeachment hearing where he blurs out the members' identities.
First thing he wants to do is usurp the Constitution with the Bible. That's the first thing he wants to
George
do.
Santos, I wish people would stop paying that man $400 to do videos. And you notice that's what he's doing now. I mean, it's just like,
Those are
but
people from
I
Long
will say
Island.
this. I will say this. We're talking about a good moment in Congress. They did finally get rid of him. It took his own party. And I wish that people would hold the bad actors within their own party more accountable like that. It took a lot. It took, New York Republicans to push that. And some people felt like he should have had a conviction. He should have. And I don't think so. I think that when you have these disingenuous players within your party, it's up, the party needs to expel them. And we're not seeing that very much lately. And so I'll give them that. They did finally get rid of Santos.
Right.
And we had two members of our own congressional delegation that didn't vote for that.
Can
So.
we set the bar any lower for success? They expelled George Santos.
I know, but
Polanco can get over that bar.
so in what about our own delegation? So we have a senator who wants to fist fight the Teamsters.
That's not a good look. You don't want to challenge the Teamster president to a match. There are a lot of people Mark Wayne Mullen could beat, but I don't think the Teamster president is a good guy to start with. I'm going to tell you something about Oklahoma delegation, and I want to change the mood here a little bit. We can get back to the fun and games. We
Okay.
just had a presidential candidate who channeled Adolf Hitler, and not one of our United States representatives spit him out of the party. Not one of them said, unacceptable. I don't care whether I agree with him on economics or the border. Not one of them stood up unequivocally and said, this guy is not a Republican. And if he's a Republican, I'm not. So any other noise they make to me, that's the issue. I mean, how many Oklahomans died during World War II, fought in World War II? They fought against Hitler. And now to have a party that won't even stand up for somebody who channels Hitler?
But what's weird about that is that there's a hypocrisy. They want to fire all the Ivy League presidents who didn't come out and say genocide back. That hearing that was led by, and again, I read your column on that. Very, very good. So there's a hypocrisy within there. They, when it comes to anti-Semitism, and we do have anti-Semitism is by all accounts on the rise nationally. So they'll hold certain people accountable for that, but not within their own. It goes back to policing your own party.
Well, both parties are using that issue to their own advantage, and it's pretty disgusting. I mean, what university presidents say or don't say about First Amendment, about what control they have over students, that's an interesting side. We have 2 million people in Gaza. How many children dying and being starved? That's the issue. And not one of those presidents
I'm
was
not
smart
disagreeing
enough.
with that,
Right.
but it's the I'm going to hold these people accountable because I don't like them. But here's a person who's powerful in my own party who's saying the same thing.
Who they're supporting for
Or,
president, not just
right.
some guy.
And we're not
This
going to, and that's what I'm talking about is that there's no, it's, like I say, it goes back to that, and I think that's where this cynicism comes from among the American people. Don't you think?
problem with cynicism is then you say, well, they do it and we do it and they're all the same. The fact is, they're
That, that's,
not
I'm
all
not
the same.
buying that.
There's nobody in the Democratic Party channeling Adolf Hitler. There's nobody in the Democratic Party saying Viktor Orban and Vladimir Putin are guys we should model. I mean, there's just nobody doing that. And at some point, that's the tripwire. We have one party that's doing that and standing behind a guy who does that, and one party that doesn't. You want to argue about the price of cream cheese now and environment and EV controls and student loans? Fine, but at what point do you go, none of that is important as the fact that one guy is a fascist and one isn't? I told you I'm
So
going to
when
break.
I said that Barry knows national politics and can get in deep, this is what I'm talking about.
Okay, let's talk about the city council because I know nothing about that. Go ahead.
But there is, and you, but here's the thing: in the upcoming year, like a year from now, and we're doing the year in review, we're going to have had a presidential election behind us. So these are all issues I think that are definitely coming up.
And I'll
When
be
you
in
talk about
Reykjavik. I'll
looking
be in
forward,
Reykjavik if that
right?
happens.
But I do, but I can, I gotta admit, I can only handle politics in like
I got you.
small, I mean, huge. It's, we get a micro dose. on the politics,
Okay.
because otherwise I will OD. So I'm going to turn to pop culture for just a minute. We'll go back. So, best movie, worst movie. Best movie you saw this year? More than one.
All
Do
right.
you
I've
are
only
you
seen a lot
home
of
enough to
movies.
even watch movies?
I mean, I actually didn't like movies at all. I can't remember the last movie I saw. However, I would tell you from what I've seen of it, because I haven't seen the whole thing. I would say, again, I've not seen the whole movie because for some reason I didn't see the whole movie. I would say either Oppenheimer or Killers of the Flower Moon.
Oh, see, I have Killers of the Flower Moon on mine. I really, it's one of those movies that just sat with me. And I took my son to it, my 19-year-old son, and he's not a guy that's going to sit through 3 hours easily. And he goes, yeah, that stayed with him. I liked Barbie.
I didn't see Barbie, but I think I'd love Barbie.
My son was mad at me that I made him watch it because he felt it was very anti-man. We had a whole argument about it. And then my daughter told him to go to his room, and we finish that fight. I haven't seen Oppenheimer. I'd like to see that. I'll tell you what, the surprise, I watch a lot of movies. I liked Cocaine Bear. Cocaine Bear was quite lovely, as well as Haunted Mansion and Renfield. I like those.
See, if I knew we were going to talk about movies, I would have been more prepared. But
Oh,
I
that's
didn't
all
know.
right. My daughter has watched the prequel to Hunger Games twice. I hated Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. I want my money back.
Apparently, a lot of people did.
I couldn't even finish Asteroid City. I just,
You couldn't even
my
pretend
daughter
to
loved it.
like it.
She's like, it's so stylized. It's so cool. Why don't you like it? I'm like, I'm 51 and I just can't, I don't want to do that anymore. So do you watch TV shows?
I do watch a lot of TV, but again, I think the best thing on TV by far is the 90 Day Fiance franchise.
The what?
The 90 Day Fiance franchise. You don't know, you're what?
No idea what you're talking about.
Oh, you don't know 90 Day Fiance, The Other Way, Single Life? Oh, oh my goodness, I can't talk to you anymore.
Well, I don't. Where you're gonna have to send me a link.
This
Where
is
do
a
I even find
reality
this?
show where, let's say, somebody from America meets somebody in Colombia. And
Okay.
they converse back and forth on the internet on chats rooms for years, and then they meet. And then one comes to one, usually the person from, say, Colombia or Bulgaria comes to the United States, and they have like 90 days to get married. And they're filmed. It's awful, but it's wonderful because there's no pretense.
Where do you even find this?
Oh, you find it on what, I don't know what channel it is. Melissa has it on, so I watch it go. And we have Sunday nights. We watch it all the time. It's 2 hours. And you
Okay.
have people who can't speak English and they don't understand each other. And they say relationship more in 2 hours, the word relationship, than our parents did their entire lives. It's just wonderful. They scream at each other and then they break up. And then at the end of it, end of the season, they all come for a tell-all. And they all sit in a big room and they talk about the relationships and they go over the history and the highlights. How could you miss this?
I just don't like reality shows. That's always on my, I don't like reality shows. I
How about Sister
like,
Wives?
you know, on my list, Reservation Dogs, I think is one of the best TV shows we've had in years.
What
Do
about
you watch
Sister
that?
Wives? No, Sister Wives.
This, I like The Bear. Do you watch The Bear?
No,
They have a
I can't
great.
watch them. I watch Meet the Press and 90 Day Fiance. That's pretty much all I
That's
watch.
it.
That's it.
I don't even know. Well, I mean, I watch Meet the Press. I watch CBS Sunday Morning, and then I might hang on to Meet the Press. Although Ryan Walters was on Meet the Press last week, I really should have watched that. I heard that was a humdinger. So, but I will play the Bear, Poker Face, Fall of the House of Usher, because that's like creepy Halloween stuff. I like
All
that.
right.
Righteous Gemstones. I binge watch that. That's hilarious. Send up of like, you know, Christian stuff. I know you're really into that. So
And
you're watching.
I watch anything that Keith Morrison, all those crime shows, I love that. He's the
Harry
guy.
has a great podcast where he reads books and stuff. Might check that
Every
out.
episode, Keith Morrison, it looked like a normal day. But no, what was it? He's the best. I can't believe I'm watching
All
the
right.
wrong things. I did see about 20 minutes of Tulsa King.
See, I didn't like that. That's on my didn't like
Could not
list.
believe how bad it is.
Yeah, I didn't like that. That's on
Rocky
my.
Five is better than Tulsa King, and nothing's better than Rocky Five.
No, Dark Winds, that's a good one. You know, and Succession. Did you not watch Succession?
I watched Ozark.
See, I stopped watching Ozark.
Why?
I lost interest. I didn't care. I don't know.
We have nothing in common.
I tried to watch FUBAR starring Arnold Schwarzenegger. That was so bad. I cannot even. And then I could. I wanted to like. And just like that, it's like the Sex and the City, like current, you know. And I just don't like any of those ladies anymore. Like I don't like them. Like even their characters in the parallel universe where I were like a rich New York City socialite, I wouldn't want to hang with them either. So I can't get into that.
Yeah, although I nearly bought we nearly bought Jimmy Choo shoes. That's my connection to that. Yeah, we were in Oslo and we went to a Jimmy Choo store,
Okay.
they were $1,000 shoes marked down to like 970. That was like the big sale.
Like $9?
No, 970. That like $30 off the price.
See,
We didn't
okay.
buy them, but I will tell you this. I mean, what Melissa told me, the Jimmy Choo shoes. I don't know if they're $970 worth of comfortable. But they are comfortable right here. So that would be
Okay.
the first, when the Tulsa world finally cherishes you enough, that's the first purchase you should make.
If I'm wearing Jimmy Choo shoes, you know, something has definitely changed in my life. So, all right. So we've gone over the pop culture. I know you're itching to get back to politics.
No. We can go back to pop culture. I just don't know that much about it because, again, I somehow have no life anymore. I don't know what's going on.
You don't watch TV, you don't watch movies. All right. I'm going to send you a list. I'm going to check out this fiance. Okay. But let's go. All right. So let's go back to politics, but we're going to take you down to the state level. We're going to go more local. I know this is more of a challenge, but. You do follow our legislature. Come on,
Yes, I do.
you've got to know. I mean, it's our legislature. They're, you know. So okay, so what did they do right? Like, what can you point to that the legislature did correct this year?
They didn't do anything worse than what
Well,
they did.
I'll go further. They did give teacher raises and move the bar on that. I mean, they did invest more for teachers to get raises. So I mean that was all good. Now, I do think that there's a real issue of there's this, you know, we've got the Ryan Walters situation going and this growing disrespect of the profession. But the legislature did provide a lot. They finally kind of trying to pass some marijuana bills to shore up some of the regulatory issues. Some of the stuff they do this past year was necessary, but not really that sexy headline stuff like getting rid of the disability services waiting list, stuff like that. But you know, educate, it seems like the culture war stuff is so dominating that we're ignoring some of that governance that we really need to pay attention to.
Yeah, that's a really good point because I don't know where the demarcation is between issues that matter to us because philosophically, morally, we want them to matter, and the issues that really do concern us. I mean, it's like nobody likes Congress, but most people like their congressman or woman, right? Everybody has a problem with public education, but a lot of those people really
Like
enjoy
their food, right?
their schools. So I don't know where it happens that we are so concerned about these issues out there. I mean, what I will talk about is, we spend an awful lot of time on the transgender field hockey player in Poteau, which may when there may or may not be one there, someone like that. And yet all the teachers who got those raises, I wonder if you ask them if we took the raises back and got rid of Ryan Walters, would you take the deal? Or would another $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 a year matter more to you? And it would seem to me we're at this stage now where even teachers would prefer not to have the extra money, which seems like it's almost insulting, a lot of that extra money for what they have to deal with. It does seem like the legislature's pushing back on Walters. It does seem like even Stitt is pushing back on Walters. He did this with the Tulsa, with the new superintendent of schools. Didn't he just tell him to back off and let her do her job or see if she can do her job?
He said that Stitt's quote to us in the Tulsa World Reporter was, "We need to give her time to do her job." He didn't know much about her, but we don't know whether, because Ryan Walters' time is 3 months.
Right.
Is that so? I don't know what the proper amount of time is. Most people say it takes, to really know and do your job, it's going to take, a few years. But everybody wants to see improvements quickly rather than a long time.
What does
but
that
I,
mean,
I
though?
know what you mean, but it's like people are going to spin their wheels on a library book, and we'll spend an hour on a library book. And the state board is fine listening to a person who has, like, union schools. There was one person who has lodged a complaint using House Bill 1775 because they didn't like a library book at the union schools. Now, she doesn't have a kid at union. She was said, I wasn't asked to do this on behalf of any union person, but that one complaint gets attention from the State Board of Education. The same time, we're hitting historic highs on emergency for certified teachers, which means these are unqualified, over 3,800 unqualified teachers going into classrooms because we can't find people to teach. Those real serious issues kind of get glossed over because we're going to distract people with this, shiny culture war thing. And at the same time, that governance that we need to happen just doesn't get addressed. And so, the legislature, like I say, if you are a person with a disabled child at home, being on a waiting list for 7 years was a pretty big damn deal. Well, that didn't make headlines, but the legislature did finally, get rid of that waiting list. But what do people talk about? They talk about transgender stuff. So where I think our lawmakers really fall down on the job is that they give that stuff oxygen, where they bring up the book banning crusades and, things like that. And we still haven't funded mental health. The state owes the counties money based on State Question 781, which was passed 5 years ago, that said we're going to lower the prison incarceration rate and the savings will go to the counties to help with programs to keep people from going into prisons. That's never happened. They started lowering the prison population. They just never sent the money. And so the programs that were meant to help people stay out of prison and be sober and address some mental health, that's not been done, and mental health is just plummeting. So our legislature needs to stop with the distractions. And
you say again, our legislature, there are only enough Democrats to fill a minivan. So right. You say our legislature, it's the Republicans.
It's the
GOP
it's a
that has to say,
right.
And I think there's some pushback on Walters saying we have more important things to concern, and you can't demonize teachers and you can't call them threats to America and everything else he called them. So, that's the role of the party in power. But it seems to me that this is all part of that dynamic, which says, if we starve the beast, we then can complain the beast is lethargic. So they seem like they want to say Democrat, the government doesn't work, governance doesn't work. Here, we'll prove it to you by removing the mechanism to actually make it work. So again, when you say representative, you say state government, that's one party that has to do that. I think the Democrats there are making the noise, but nobody hears them. Yes, Joanna
right,
Dawson.
They don't have the influence because when you have every state, a statewide elected official is Republican, our entire congressional delegation and the supermajority of our, yes, we're talking the Republican Party on that. And one of the big issues coming up is going to be the legislature and Governor Stitt has been pretty loud about they want to cut the tax rate. They want to cut taxes. And if they can do that with a simple majority, but to get a tax back, it takes I think it's 75%. It's a higher bar. So when you cut taxes in the state, you never get it back. So if we hit an economic downturn, that we just got through 10 years of revenue failures, which has led to. And I've always, Governor Stitt talks about we have about $5 billion in various savings accounts. And he uses that to say, look, we're doing really well. What's not being looked at are how our agencies are so underfunded. They've never reached the level of that pre-decade of cuts. So, I mean, if you listen to some of the interim studies and sessions, the Parks Department, the tourism department, talked about how there were exposed wires on the Keystone Lake. Someone was hit, like walked on a live wire and shocked them because of the underground wiring was being exposed because they've not been able to keep up with infrastructure. Things like that. So if you don't, if you, it's sort of like the way I phrased it was kind of an analogy. If I don't pay any of my bills at home, but I have a great savings account, that's not really taking care of my life. It's an inflated, it inflates the idea of how much money we have. We don't have all this money just laying around. We're just not spending it where we should be spending it right now.
And the other analogy is if you get paid on Friday and you pay your bills on Tuesday or Wednesday, Sunday and Monday look really good in your savings account. It's not your money. All that money is spoken for or should be spoken for. And the question is, again, you have this feeling that look at us, we're saving taxpayers all this money. Let's give them the money back and
Right,
let
but
them.
we've not paid our bills.
And even if you gave them back the money, even if you did away with the state income tax, which I think is a terrible idea, and Mary Fallon, Governor Mary Fallon deserves an apology from a lot of Democrats who thought she was the worst ever. She got that tax hike approved. She agreed to it. She knew you have to pay your bills, and that the tax rate was starving all these agencies. And so guess what? More money came into the system. And it worked. That's exactly how it happened. And so we did have some teacher raises. We did have some improvement, and we saved some money, and the price of oil went up. So there was money available. But now saying, okay, so see, we don't need all that money. I mean, at what level do people go, listen, I want lower government, but I want the traffic lights to work. I want lower government, but I don't want 40 kids in a classroom. I mean, this is not difficult stuff to get your head around. And yet, for some reason, we go through this every couple of years. Every time there's a surplus, we want to cut taxes. I mean, the average Oklahoman making 50,000 a year, family, 50, 60,000 a year, what do they pay in state taxes after all the deductions? 1,800, 2,000, 2,400? Give it back to them. Here's your 180 bucks a month. Now go build your own bridge and go take care of your own traffic lights and take care of all this and that. But here's 180. I mean, we're talking about money that sounds good, but what a 30% tax cut for average Oklahomans is what? It's pennies.
Right. It is what you get, what you just said earlier, starving the beast. Because when you cut back on all this, then you can point and say, oh, look, state government's not working. Well, no, it's not working because we've not invested in it. But you bring up, I was going to ask you just because I'm interested in what you say about this. Of the people who are serving at the state level, I'm kind of thinking of the past year, who kind of stands out as
Yeah, Chandler Drummond.
but going back to, what you were talking about, I would put Senator Roger Thompson of Okemah in there because he's the one, the Republican, keeping them on task with the budget. Because he's the one saying we can't cut taxes because if you look at, and we've been reporting it, you can compare this month to a year ago this month. I think it started in May or June. All of our revenue is coming in lower than the year before. And part of it is that we had about 2 years of COVID money. We were kind of drunk on the COVID money for a while, and we had all this. And so we really didn't have a sense of what our revenue for the state was going to be. Well, now we do. And it's coming in lower now. It's stabilizing off. And so Roger Thompson's the one that has been holding off the party from cutting taxes, saying we can't do that. To be the conservative party, which is a balanced budget, living within our means, he's the one that's, I think, has been the hero in that particular area for the past year. So, but now who did
I
you mention
agree.
as far as your state?
Well, I think there are some Republicans in the state who do, as our good friend David Blatt says, keep their head down and do their work, and they stay out of the more contentious issues because they know they have to get, this done and that done. I mentioned, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I mentioned Jenner Drummond, who actually does keep, there's an honesty there. There's a, you know, he's the kind of Republican that Democrats look at and go, if we have to have a Republican, that's who we want. Take your guns, whatever, take, if it, that's what you need. But on the other hand, there's a constitutional underpinning there that we like. And with Thompson, there's this maturity that we cannot do what you want done and have a functioning government. And I think that's important to be able to say we need the government on some level to work. And the more Republicans who get rid of the sexy issues and deal with that.
Ideologue issues, the culture, I kind of that culture war kind of thing.
Because again, I'm not sure even if you said to the uber right, if you said to the base, I mean the rigid Republican base, we will give you everything you want culturally, from abortion to prayer to choice, everything you want, you have it. How does it change your life if a 14-year-old has no access to birth control, or a 24-year-old has no access? I mean, how does that affect your life? But if your student, if your child class goes from 30 to 45, that has an actual effect on you. And I'm curious about, again, the divide between what you think would make your life better and the things that really will make your life better, like the student loan process, right? They're still forgiving student loans. And the question is, if you give somebody back or forgive somebody student loan for 10 or 15, $20,000, and you complain, well, in my day, I had to pay back my student loan and it doesn't foster responsibility and look what we're doing. But if you say to that person, here's $20,000, and I take that because I don't have to pay my student loan now, and I go to your uncle's Republican, who's a Republican, he's got a Nissan dealership, and I buy a car with that money, doesn't that do your uncle a favor? I'm spending money on something that matters that will affect people rather than paying this money back to some lending institution in Washington. It seems to me that shouldn't be a tough sell to say to people, you know, when you give money back to people, right? When you forgive student loans, for instance.
That's well, when you make that argument, though, people will say, well, that's why we want to cut taxes in the state. We're going to give back that $200 or $2,000, and they'll spend it and it'll generate the economy or generate money. But I, so I
But
mean,
yeah, but
that
again,
argument could
we're
be
talking
used
about
that way.
$200 over a year. Or what was the Mary Fallon tax cut when she was going for tax cuts? $27 a month. I mean, what are we going to buy? Blue chip stocks? We're going to invest in companies then with that money? I mean, that was just a let's have an issue of a tax cut. I'm for tax cuts, right? As opposed to here's a check. I mean, because I think, for instance, student loans, that should not only they should not only have been forgiven, those people who got them should get an apology for you know, you pay on a loan for 15, 20 years and you look at your balance and it's more than what you started, right? And
Yeah, those are, that's a different kind of issue. I do want to go back to the, I agree with you with Gintner that he's had a good first year in the way, and we, and he was one of the Tulsans of the year that the Tulsa World named because he's actually done what he said he would do. So often we hear a lawmaker, you know, candidates make these promises they can't keep
right.
or they've never really intended to. But he came in and he cracked down on the cartels that were masquerading as, you know, marijuana, you know, farms. He is actively trying to work with tribes and the state government to come up with some agreements on various issues that he can control. And he's actually at odds with the governor on that, on who has the power of that. And he's standing up for religious liberty. I did, you know, we didn't know that we would need that, but he is because he's intervening where Ryan Walters is overstepping. Why people aren't seeing Ryan Walters' things as overstepping, I don't know. So he's actually doing the things he said he would do. And for that, I appreciate, you know,
And
that I
again,
think had a good year.
he beat John O'Connor by
Oh,
2%.
very small, very slim margin.
And again, if you,
But if you were an independent and a Democrat, you didn't get to vote because,
right.
well, I mean, he did have, I think, a Democrat running against him, but there's I think a real
We get,
conversation
he was
needs
a
to happen
libertarian. Yeah.
about our, yeah. But I think we need to have a real discussion of, and we can do that later on
But
another podcast about
but
what
when you
needs to happen
say,
in our electoral process, our voting process.
and when you say they're all the same, just keep in mind, if you like what Jentner's doing, what Drummond's doing, you wouldn't have that if O'Connor had won. And if O'Connor
Well,
had.
you know, people want to talk about straight party voting. And I say, you know, people are not happy, particularly in Tulsa with Ryan Walters. But he, that's who the Republicans voted on. I mean, he won his Republican primary strongly. So that's who the Republicans put forward as their person. So, you know,
What was it, a 57-43 general election that he won?
in Ryan Walters, I don't know. I think it was maybe, I don't know.
It
So,
wasn't close
right.
when he won.
Before we change to the topic, I will throw in there Labor Commissioner Leslie Osborne. I had a
Yes.
great conversation with her earlier. She's one of the Republicans putting herself out there as standing out against the extremism in her party. She is bothered by, because she's, I mean, she's conservative. No one's ever doubted that, but she sees the extremism really kind of taking over. I think that Christian nationalism is one of the biggest threats we have in our country right now. And I think she's seeing that. She's not used that particular term or phrase, but she is speaking out with what we're talking about, that extremism taking over in her own party, and she's bothered by that. So I'll throw
And the
her
other,
too.
well, just maybe in a larger picture, the problem with Christian nationalism is, I mean, how do you define that? And, you know, if you say we are a Christian nation, we're not. But if you say we are, I guess the next question would be, then who wins? Which Christianity wins? Are the Baptists, the Methodists, the Presbyterians? Who gets to say it's us now,
Right.
right?
And that's sort of it, is that when I hear some Christian leaders talk about putting, you know, God in schools or Bibles in schools, I'm like, wait a second, that's not my brand, you know? So,
That's
and I
right.
think there we've got to get back to respecting and having shared spaces, you know, in this way. So, you know, and it's like the book banning thing, like what offends you doesn't offend me. So but I want to, but I'm going to change the subject again.
Okay.
Whiplash, pop culture. So, do you listen to music?
See, again, not much. What do you got for me?
Well, I don't either, because I always go back to what I like. I'm at the age where I'm like, I don't need new stuff, this new thing.
Okay.
But my daughter, because I, because she got her license this past year, I've been doing a lot of driving with her. So she introduced me to Boy Genius, which I totally am into. She got me into Zach Bryan. He's had a really good album
I
out.
have
You guys
no
like, he's an
idea.
Oklahoma guy. You gotta like Zach, right? You're not gonna go to the Zach Bryan show?
I have no idea.
You have no
I'll take
idea.
your word for it.
Another Oklahoman who I always like, but it kind of got by me, is JD McPherson. He's very rockabilly. I love rockabilly stuff. But I will say, when I asked my 19-year-old son, who's very cool, I said, "So what's the music out there?" And he just kind of looks at me and he's like, "You know, I like this new album called Scaring the Hose." I'm like, "Scaring the Hose?" Yeah. I go, who did Scaring the Hose? He said, JPEG Mafia and Danny Brown. So
I
I'm
hope you
like,
told
so I'm
a
gonna throw that
whole.
out there. You know, check out Scaring the Hose, because apparently that's what 19-year-old boys are listening to. So
Hoes
what
cannot be
new
scared.
music? Do you listen to new music at all?
Just when my daughter comes to visit, whatever she has on, I'll listen to.
Okay. So you have
Yeah.
no opinion in this particular?
No, see, again, unfortunately, I know like 11 songs, and I play them constantly. So,
Are they all Bruce Springsteen?
no. I think art should depress, and I think music should depress. I don't want to be entertained. I want to be just. I want my heart ripped out. I walk better on the treadmill when someone's like breaking up with somebody, and
So what do you listen to?
you don't want to know. I mean,
Okay.
I actually listen to Loudon Wainwright and Randy Newman and a lot of the people from the 70s and 80s. It's
I'm so
really,
sad for you. I'm so
I know
sad.
it is sad to be me. Although I
Is
will
that
tell you,
what comics do? You just listen to sad music to get inspired?
I will. Let me throw out one name that I think you probably have never heard, Tina Dico. She's a
Oh
Norwegian singer-songwriter. And this stuff is just heart-wrenching. But she's got a great voice. So there you go. Tina Dico.
So if we're past music, what about like pop culture moments? Like not a best of or like looking at the past year, like what do you think are like the notable things that have happened that people are going to talk about?
Well, what do you think? I mean, the obvious answer is go ahead.
Well, I mean, you've got Taylor Swift dating
That's
a football
it.
player.
That's
I'm,
it.
you
That's
know,
the
at
moment.
first I really was, I enjoyed the distraction because I was really kind of at a moment where politics was just bringing me down. And I thought, yeah, let's get obsessed with that. But
Yeah.
now I'm kind of done with it. I'm
I
like,
will tell you, though, I would agree with you, except football is pretty insufferable these days. I mean, it really is. And so I like the cutaway shots to her and the mom and Patrick Mahomes' wife. I mean, I think it's wonderful. And I think it's really, you can do it. I'm not sure how you dislike her. I mean, the
she
latest
was,
thing I've heard was
think
that
she
her.
deserved the person of the year because the way she has been able to move people to motivate a world of people. I mean, the NFL could never have paid or gotten the kind of attention that she brought to a sport internationally. I mean, we've got girls in, you know, Spain trying to figure out what a tight end is. I mean, there's no way the NFL could have gotten that kind of attention.
And she brought down the price of eggs months ago. Remember that? Right. And I think it's great that she turned the NFL down and doing the halftime show. Right. And if the biggest complaint about Taylor Swift, I just read this today, was that her private jet takes up too much gasoline, too
Really,
much.
she's the only celebrity that's using a private jet.
Old and
You know,
she's the problem.
there are not very many women who reach that kind of level and to have
Sure.
that kind of influence. So I'm just not going to bag on her. She writes her own music. Not very many people write their own music. So she does that. I don't know. I'm all, my daughter's a huge Taylor Swift fan. She couldn't get tickets. You know, Ticketmaster screwed all the Swifties. So, but it has been kind of, you know, it's what it is. You know,
And
it's
I
a nice.
like the fact that Bill Belichick, New England Patriots
Yes.
head coach, saw her in concert in the rain, and Taylor Swift performed in the rain, and Belichick said, "There's a trooper." Yeah, you can like Taylor Swift and not ever hear one song of hers. However, let's just add this. This is a very important caveat that if the Chiefs don't win the Super Bowl, it's all her fault
No, yeah, that'll be the next. Yeah, she
for
exactly.
distracting. Yeah, Kelsey.
Oh wow. And I do actually, I've been listening to the podcast, the Kelce podcast for my son had me watching it over a year ago because they're, and it's fun because they're two brothers, you know, Jason Kelce plays for Philadelphia and they do have a fun podcast and they have like one of the top po now that he's dating Taylor Swift, they got one of the top podcasts. See, now if you know,
That's
neither,
what I
both we're
mean.
both married. We can't go and find like some, you know, person to bring up our podcast. So
I have a question for you, going back to politics,
okay.
right?
Right.
What do you think the choice debate, the abortion protections throughout the states, will look like at the end of this year? Will it help change or help change? Will it change the dynamic of Republican Democrats?
Of
Can
just the choice
Democrats
of just the
hang
choice.
that? Yeah.
I've always believed, and I think that there's a real fear when you look at when abortion goes to a statewide vote in these other states, it always choice is winning. And I've always kind of had a sense that people will say, I'm pro-life, against abortion, but when they're faced but in the private, you know, privacy of an election, they may vote differently because, I mean, right now, I really believe that if you are a woman and you are having a problematic pregnancy, this is not a safe space for you. I mean, we've already seen there's a lawsuit pending of a woman in Oklahoma City that was hemorrhaging. She was told to go out into her car and bleed out more until she got to the point of dying, and then come back in. That's not a safe thing. And I don't know. It didn't really, I don't know if it played, it didn't really make that much of a difference, I think, at the midterms. But you're seeing, and you'll see this in Oklahoma again, because it happens every year, they're going to make it harder to put something on a statewide ballot
Because they know they'll lose.
because I think there's a real fear there. And people go to a statewide ballot when the lawmakers are not being responsive to their constituents. That's what that's about. And lawmakers get really mad when the constituency overrules them. But I think that would make, I think that I'm not convinced that Oklahoma is as anti-abortion as some of our statewide leaders, because it is such a gray area and women are dying, and it's just not safe. And you know, we have a woman in Texas that had to leave the state. I mean, how is that? I don't see how that is helpful for anything. It is not
Here's
helpful.
the problem. I'm gonna put, see if this. Oh, here we go. Here's the problem. I see it. In Ohio, where they just passed a measure to protect those rights, it won 57-43. It wasn't close. The next day, Republicans turned around in the state and tried to kind of chisel away that victory. More important to me was. So it won 57-43. In the last four statewide elections in Ohio, Republicans have carried most of the districts, all the statewide offices, or most of the statewide offices. Republicans win by an average of 56-44, which means the same people, many of the same people who voted to protect abortion rights, are the same people voting for those candidates who will take those rights away from them. So it's not only your own personal, what would you do? What would I do for my daughter? It's literally that disconnect of I don't know what you do with that. That's whiplash. Literally saying, I think women should be able to control their bodies to a certain extent, whatever you decide that is, and then turning around and saying, well, I'm voting for the Republican anyway because I like his or her position on pick a topic. I don't know what you do with that. Women in Oklahoma who would be faced with that
They're
same
in a bad,
decision.
and that's where I think that you have a lot of, and this is where the Republican Party, I think, is going to have to do some self-reflection, because not all Republicans are as anti-abortion as that. That there are some that believe that that's state overreach, that that's government overreach, is to tell you what you can do. And that's, you know, if that's your number one priority, then that's that party priority. And how someone can vote for one and the other, I can't explain it myself. But
What Republican has lost in a general election for being too rigid on abortion?
it's to be in the to be a Republican Party, you can't go wrong by saying I'm against abortion. But I think what is becoming more clear to more people when this hits the majority, I'll know, is that that abortion is never black or white, yes or no. That it is so much more complex, that the reason I've always said I'm pro-choice is because I can't make that decision for someone else, and because I know so many women who have had incredibly complicated pregnancies, that you know, and we're seeing that when you pass a law, then it becomes harder to have that flexibility to have good health care, because for women that is health care. And when you have, you know, a fetus that's dead and you're dying, or all these different complexities, I just think that it should be just between a woman's doctor and her and her, you know, whatever. And so I think that, but unfortunately, a lot of women are going to be hurt in trying to get to that place where
And
people
as you
realize, because
said,
for so long, the anti-Roe has been yes or no. You're either for it or against it. And there's not been allowed that discussion of what about all these different scenarios? Because it's very hard to pass a law to fit every single scenario.
as you say, like the woman in the parking lot, when you say or feel good about the fact, no, we have exceptions for the life of the mother. What does that mean?
Yeah,
How
so that.
close does the mother have to be to dying before the life of the mother matters? And if your argument, as it was in Texas, this is what this is what the proponents of choice and protection had to argue with Well, if you let her have this abortion, she can have other children. That's what they had to say to get any traction on that argument. Now, if you're a woman and you know there is a group out there that support that, that actually look at women like chattel or vessels, that should be, to my mind, game, set, and match. If somebody would look at you as once you get pregnant, your rights end. Now, if you still vote for the person who supports that, where do you go next? I mean, do we just cry that these women die in parking lots bleeding out when we know how that happened?
Yeah, no, and unfortunately it will. And I think that, and what people listening to this are going to get, these conversations are going to ramp up more in the next year as we enter the presidential debate. But and again, we used to, you know, when we had Roe versus Wade, we felt like we, being people who were pro-choice, felt like there were protections. Well, now we really have to get back into these conversations, because, and I've always believed, and I still believe, that there's always someone around the corner willing to take away rights, that rights are never absolute. So, but I do want to kind of, in wrapping up a little bit, we won't even get into local politics, as I know you don't know what's going
We can
on.
talk a
So,
little bit. I know a little bit, but go ahead.
all right, do you think, this is Mayor Bynum's last year? Do you think, what do you think the, what do you think of the mayor? Do you think he's done a pretty good job?
Well,
Do you
by and
think
large, I think he's done a good job. A couple of things I wish he had done differently, had been stronger about. But in terms of where I am, where Oklahoma is, where Tulsa is, I think he maneuvered it pretty well. I think he was right about the massacre. I think he was right about Walters, for instance. I thought he could have pushed back even harder on Walters. I think he completely fumbled the whole business about the Trump rally. But by and large, his voice, he has stood with the good people, the right people. And I think what he did mostly, and he told me this in a number of interviews, I'm sure he told you, he tells everybody this, he stayed away from those issues that have nothing to do with the running of Tulsa. And a lot of those are the contentious headline issues about abortion and prayer and stuff.
right,
And
because that
again,
has to do with the running of Tulsa, and
right.
I appreciate that. And he has prioritized since last year housing. I'm very happy about
Exactly.
that.
Housing. And again, just speaking of housing, I mean, I spent a lot of time on Brookside, and homelessness is a concern, and is a real concern, and is a philosophical concern, and is a practical concern. I mean, what do we do with the homeless? How do we get to that? On the other hand, if you're a restaurant owner, you can't have homeless, you know, obstructing your customers. You
Right,
can.
right,
So
right.
there has to be something. So I think he did a smart thing. But again, the overriding with homelessness, the same people who are, you know, who decry the homeless say, all right, well, we can get them off the streets, let's say, but we're going to put them in housing, which they're going to get for free, which means you're not going to get something for free, right? At what point do you say, listen, I would rather we find a solution to this, even if I lose out on this? It's like people complain about, you know, in prison, they get 3 meals a day and they get health care. Good. You want to switch places with them? At some point, we have to allow that to happen for people to be helped. Getting back to the mayor, I think he's done a really good job. Again, Tulsa's biggest strength is telling the outside world the craziness and insanity in Oklahoma is not here. We're a bit of a oasis from the rest of the state, as this is the Austin is in Texas.
And
So.
I will say, I think our city council, I mean, Grant Miller doesn't seem to want to play nice and came in wanting to pick a fight and sue his fellow councilors. But our city council has found a way to govern well together. And you talk about people of differing political views. I mean, they really come at opposite ends, and for them to come together and govern without making headlines, I'll give them credit for that. So to wrap up, we're going to look forward to next year. What are you looking forward to next year? And do you have any resolutions?
I'm looking forward to next year to seeing if there is a center, if it'll hold, if sanity will matter in this country, and if we're smart enough to look at the end of the republic and say, no, we don't want it to end. I will just say this about Trump and Biden. Let's assume lightning strikes and anybody but Donald Trump is the Republican nominee. I don't expect that to happen, but any one of them other than Donald Trump is a nominee. Here's the good news. If it's DeSantis, if it's Christie, if it's Haley, we can be guaranteed we will have a 2028 presidential election. And if Joe Biden wins, we'll certainly have a 2028 presidential election. If Donald Trump wins, tell me that anybody can guarantee me we will have an election in 2028. So what I'm hoping for is that we have that sanity, that people go to that polling booth on November 8th, I think it is 3rd, and say, no, Joe Biden, he's not my favorite. I wish he wouldn't give money back to students. I wish he wouldn't stop funding and incentivizing EVs. On the other hand, we will have a United States in 2028. My resolution? I found out my lower cholesterol is a little high, so maybe I'll eat less cheese. That's it.
That's
Maybe.
it.
That's it.
I'm sort of, some people love the politics and
Yeah.
covering it. I've gotten to where I almost dread it because the meanness and the bad behavior, the disrespect is it kind of gets to you after a while. And some of it's leveled at me. Some of it's leveled, there are candidates that will not even engage with who they deem other. And then they can go and brag about how they blew off the Tulsa World.
Right.
That I'm to the point where I want to tell people about that because what I want to see are candidates who will engage with others. That I hope, and I'm hopeful and optimistic that in this next year, as we enter this campaign, that we'll find candidates who are willing to listen to other opinions. You don't have to agree, but we can at least be respectful and say, I understand where you're coming from, but maybe we don't get all the way there. I want to see some more common ground. And I want people to vote. I want informed voters. Don't just go in there and vote for an R or D or whatever. I mean, I want you to be able to tell me why you're voting for this school board candidate. Why are you voting for the president? And we do have a school board election in April, so you don't have to wait till November. Be informed in April and then on. So, I'm looking forward to that, to finding maybe some new leaders that are coming up. That are willing to put themselves out there and change the tone of politics right now so that I'm not dreading it and that I actually look forward to it. Let's see. I'm looking forward to TPS changes. I mean, we've had a lot of changes. I like the new superintendent, Ebony Johnson. I think TPS, I have kids that one kid's still there. I'm looking forward to the potential that Tulsa has with their schools and how the city can help schools. And as far as my resolutions, there's always health stuff, right? Always. But I think for me, I'm going to try to turn off my computer on the weekends a little more. My job is like 24/7. I need to turn it off a little bit. So for those of you, if I'm not texting you back exactly when you want, just know it's family time. So
Or
that's what I'll live.
90-day fiancé time. That's what it's going
That's
to
right. You know what's sad? Jeff and I are going to start, my husband and I are going to start watching that, and we'll be like a year from now going, yeah, it was really good.
be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. All
No
right. I'm wrapping
prequels.
up. Any last words?
If you get to a point, I don't know who I'm speaking this to, but if you get to a point and it's between being right and ruining the dinner party, be right. I disagree with you on the fact that civility is really overrated when you're dealing with Nazis. Okay.
Well, I'm talking about trying the people who, you're right. When you are dealing with an extremist, you can't find common ground. That's why I'm looking for the people who will find common ground.
Right.
Because
You don't
so
lose
when you're dealing
friendship
with someone
over.
who's so dug in, they're not willing to give. No, I'm looking forward to the people who I can sit down with and walk away and go, okay, we agreed on three things,
I met with my urologist last week. Wonderful guy, saved my life, but a conservative. And it hit me. You do not lose friendship over the TOPS tax rate. You don't lose friendship over carry forward interest. That's what you're talking about. Those people, yes, engage with people who can be engaged with, who look at you the way you look at them and say, how do we find a solution here? It doesn't work if one of the two keeps chasing the other one around looking for some acceptance. So I agree with you.
Okay. And on that, have a good new year.
You
Happy
too.
holidays for everyone who's got holidays celebrating.
I can say Christmas now. When is
Merry
Kwanzaa?
Christmas. Merry
Hanukkah's over.
Christmas, Mary. Happy Hanukkah late. By the way, I didn't get any Hanukkah invitations from you. Like, don't you have like special dinners and stuff that you could have invited me to? Totally left me out.
Yeah, we did. Here's the problem with that. We
You're
don't.
inviting me to Seder this year, right? I get a Seder invite from you.
We're not doing the Seder here, but I will invite you to where I'm going for Seder. Yeah,
Okay.
we'll go back to the synagogue. They have a great Seder.
Let's do that.
All right,
You heard
sounds
it,
good.
people. Barry Friedman invited me.
Okay,
Okay.
we'll take pictures and everything. Hey, I
All
enjoy
right.
this very much.
Have a good new year, and we will do more podcasts so people can enjoy this.
Or not enjoy it. Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right,
Bye-bye.
enjoy, everybody.